Radio.
The opinions of Fred Fowler and AJ Hoffman don't reflect the views of Gal Media. Parental discretion is advised. KFNC Mont Belvieu, Houston, a Gal Media station. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Today's Blitz Rewind starts now.
Guess who went on the reserve injured list for your Texans?
Kahale Waring, who again is apparently just not a football player.
He's apparently broken.
This isn't really about their tight end depth, because it's not like Waring played last week anyway. It's more about the wasted draft pick that is Kahale Waring.
Yeah. Third round pick, what did you expect?
Yes.
I mean, that's what he's supposed to be.
The trend continues,
but
right?
Keep in mind that all you have right now are third round picks, so maybe you don't want to miss on them. But
you need to start figuring those things out. I think the idea of moving Harden is a great one. If you can find a willing dance partner, I would certainly consider if I'm the Rockets, even if you don't get back equal value.
What team?
Even if you get back 75 cents on the dollar, I would be willing to move on from James Harden at this point.
I'm all for it. And I'm sure you could find somebody out there who would take the guy. I mean, there's a lot of teams that would love to have a guy who can get him to the playoffs by himself, which he can pretty much do, and might put some butts in the seats.
Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on the Blitz. Hour number three, 713-780, ESPN's your number, 713-780-3776. Or you can get on the Blitz Facebook page, find the Blitz, click like, you're good to go. There's also Twitter, at Fred Fowler, F-A-O-U-R. At AJ is the real, at Aaron is Blitz, at Degenerates 975. You can text the show, you know the number for that. And you can also watch us on Twitch. Just go to twitch.tv/ESPN975. Join the conversation there. And there's always stuff that goes on most of the breaks. So missed the first 2 hours. It's pretty much sportsy. That's some of what you missed. It's all available at podcastarena.com, or will be shortly. So you can go and check that out. You know, it's funny. I used to not look at the lines early in the week, and then after all the time doing stuff with RJ, I have
become an early shopper.
Yeah, I made two bets already, and I kind of want to. I'm going to bounce some of these off of you if you don't mind, since you got a bet going. Bengals plus.
Well, six. I'm a gambling man, friend.
Bengals plus six against the Browns. I didn't. Because I kind of think the Browns are going to be the front-running Browns. When they get a lead against a bad team, they're going to run away and hide, because that's what they are. But they're not going to beat teams better than them. But I just can't see giving up 6 points with this team right now.
Yeah, I'm not looking to bet the Browns as a favorite, period. But I'm still not in the buy mode on the Bengals. And I think the Bengals are going to be overvalued, because I think people are in love with Joe Burrow.
Did you disparage Joe Burrow in front of Josh Ennis?
Hardly. What I said was, I said he played like garbage for the entire game until the final drive. And to his credit, in that final drive, he did look like, you know, college Joe Burrow. And it was exciting. And it's like, oh, maybe there is something there. But for the entirety, the entire rest of that game, it was bad reads, it was bad decisions, it was bad throws, and it was a guy who looked like he'd never tried to, like, it's a guy who looked like his receivers ran free in college, which
right,
they did,
right?
And now suddenly he's in the NFL where nobody's got 5 yards of separation. What am I going
to
do
behind an offensive line that sent everybody to the NFL and a running back who is probably going to be your offensive rookie of the year?
So I'm not in on that. I'm a pass on that game. But if I did have to take a side, it would be the Bengals, because there's no way I would give up that many points with the Browns, because I think the Browns are trash.
Yeah, this is another one I'm going to pass on. But if I had to take a side, I'd take the Eagles plus one against the Rams. I think the Rams are a serious bounce candidate after, you know, Sunday Night Football. Well, of course, not the sexy home opener they were hoping for, but. And I know the Eagles look like crap against the Washington FC, so I think there's value there, but not enough for me to pull a trigger.
Here's what I'll say about that. My I would normally be in that's a buy low, sell high.
Right.
You know, normally, the Rams just beat the Cowboys on national TV. the Eagles just lost to a team that doesn't even have a name. It seems like you're right. It's a buy low, sell high spot. The reason why I'm not interested in it is because the offensive line in the second half of that game was so atrocious.
Yeah.
And when you think about that, the Washington football team did that. What are Aaron Donald and Michael Brockers going to do? That's
agreed.
Terrifying.
Although I do think Washington's defensive line is the one strength of that team. And yeah, now, having said that, I don't know if it's better than the Rams. But yeah, I that's why I can't pull a trigger for that very reason. Very valid point. I already pulled the trigger on this. Panthers +9 at Tampa. I still think Tampa is getting this Super Bowl love. And I don't think the Panthers are nearly as bad as people think they are. And give Matt Rhule some time. That's going to be a competitive football team. I think they're 9 points. Thank you.
Yeah, that does seem like a really ridiculous number. I don't know. I don't know where that's coming from. But yeah, I'm that's certainly the way I would lean on that one.
Broncos +7.5 against your beloved Steelers. That half kills me.
The half kills me, too. I want to bet against... I'm telling you, I like the Steelers. And
I do, too.
There were a bunch of people calling me a square yesterday because I was on the Steelers. And
hey, guys, sometimes the square end is the right end.
Yeah. I said, man, look, the Steelers were a good team last year with something called Duck playing quarterback. And now they've got... And look, Big Ben... I don't think Big Ben looked anything special. I don't think he was very good, in fact.
Doesn't have to be special. He just has to be functional. They won a Super Bowl with him being functional.
Yep. Their defense is solid. They're very, very difficult to run against. And so now you're saying, okay, we're taking away... And now the Broncos don't have Phillip Lindsay. I'm not going to bet this one because of that hook. But if this were like some sort of a contest where I had to pick a side, it'd be the Steelers.
Agreed. Falcons +4.5 at Cowboys. I want to bet the Falcons here, but I've kind of had to give myself a self-intervention. I'm staying away from the Falcons early in the season until they're
a slow starter. I'll take over 52.5, which is a big number. In fact, I think maybe the biggest number on the board this weekend. But I think that the Cowboys offense, which wasn't very good against the Rams.
I see your defense this week.
I think they're in a get right spot.
But I think the Falcons are going to put up points on them.
I agree. So I think it's a high scoring game. I don't know. I don't want to say the Falcons can't keep up, because I think the Falcons can easily keep up. I just think that over is safer than taking either side.
49ers 7-point favorites at the Jets. This is another one that...
Let me know what's going on with George Kittle. That's an issue, man. Like, he banged up knee. He was almost a zero on Sunday. The Jets are bad. I mean, I saw it against Buffalo. They're not a good team. The lean is certainly to the Niners, but if George Kittle's not playing now, I'm like, who's the consistent go-to guy? And they just don't really have one.
Yeah, I wish I could find some positives from the Jets in week one. Other than they played a pretty stout defense. And, well, of course, guess what they face this week is a pretty stout defense. Yep. So, Bills 6-point favorites at the Dolphins. Again, little too much spread, a little too much for me as far as the Bills are concerned, but not enough for me to play the other side.
But I like the Bills handily. I like the Bills double digits here.
Lean Bills, but I'm not playing it.
The Bills had their way with the Dolphins both games last year. I think the Bills are better. I think the Dolphins aren't. So I like the Bills pretty handily.
It's still hard for me to think of the Bills as a team that's going to run away and hide, though.
They're not.
Because the way they play.
They're not, yeah. And the Bills, if we start getting to where the Bills are a touchdown plus favorite, I'm probably going to be out. They're a ball control team, but they are certainly better at controlling the ball than the Dolphins are. And when you see what Cam did, the success Cam had running the ball last week, and we talked earlier this week about how Josh Allen reminds me of a young Cam. Now add in the fact that Josh Allen has some down the field weapons that Cam didn't have. I like the Bills to have their way.
Vikings 3-point dogs at Indy. Two teams coming off disappointing opening weeks.
I think I have to take the Vikings with points there.
I know. I don't feel good about it, but I think if you're, again, if you're doing a pool, you have to have a pick. I think that's the way to go. Lions plus 6 at Packers. Boy, the Packers sure looked good last week.
They did, and this is, again, a buy low, sell high sort of a thing, and I'll probably be on the Lions getting sick. I'm hoping it actually ends up getting to 7.
Yeah, I think it could. Very well could.
But you remember last year, both games that the Lions and the Packers played, in those two games, both Packers wins, they were Packers wins by a combined 4 points. So it was a 3-point win and a 1-point win. So the Lions, at least for a team that won 3 games last year, they played the Packers tough. So if I can get a 7, then just, I'll be on the Lions.
And just in the overreaction category, if Swift doesn't drop that pass, do you exactly. still think it's a 6-point game?
No.
Because that game looks a lot different.
And here's something I challenge you to go back and look at, because the Lions last year were 3-12-1. They were a disaster. But go look how many times they really got blown out. Here's their schedule last year. Arizona tie, Chargers win, at Eagles win, 4-point loss to the Chiefs, 1-point loss at the Packers, 12-point loss Vikings, win Giants, touchdown loss Raiders, touchdown loss Bears, 8-point loss Dallas, 3-point loss Washington, 4-point loss Chicago, 13-point loss Vikings, 21-point loss Tampa, 10-point loss at Denver, 3-point loss Bears. Not a lot of games that they weren't in.
No, late in the season, there was the one that were losing by double digits.
That's when they had David playing quarterback. Yeah. When they had Stafford in, they were competitive in almost every game. The only game they lost by more than double digits, or by double digits, was the Vikings game.
Right.
Every other game, and that's when you talk about they were in games with the Chiefs, the Eagles, these were playoff teams, Packers, they're competitive. I don't think they'll get blown out in this game, but I am going to wait until I see a 7.
Yeah, you've almost got me sold. Giants plus 5.5 at the Bears. I might lean Giant here.
I think I would too. The Giants you saw last night, if they have the run taken away from them, it's going to be a rough night for them. Saquon Barkley was a disaster. The Bears are kind of the opposite of the Steelers. They're a really stout pass defense against the run. So I think if Saquon Barkley can get things going, I'd like the Giants to cover that. I even may sprinkle a little money line on them.
I'm a little surprised by this because, yeah, I know it was kind of a fluke that Jacksonville played as well as it did last week. But plus 9 against the Titans? The Titans don't really blow people out either.
Yeah, we were just talking about the Bills and not wanting to give big numbers with the Bills, which, again, I don't think 5.5 against the Dolphins is a big number.
Right.
Nine is a big number.
Yeah.
For the Titans. The Titans are not a whoop-your-ass kind of team, typically. I don't like Jacksonville at all. I don't want to have any money invested in Jacksonville at all. But if I were playing that game, there's no way I'm giving 9 points with the Titans. No chance of that. Although they beat the snot out of the Jags last time. But remember, the Jags beat them early in the year last season.
Yeah,
that was Mariota though.
Yeah. Well, and I mean I can't believe Gardner Minshew is going to be as good as he was last week again. But he's had a few games like that. I'm leaning Jaguar here, and I'm going to see if that number goes up. And if it does, if it gets a double digit division dog, I'm going to pounce. Washington FC plus 6.5 at Arizona.
I think Washington FT, isn't it?
I'm calling them FC, like they do in soccer.
Pass at a touchdown. I would probably, if I had to, I would take the football team.
Okay. This one's already gone up. I punched the ticket yesterday. Ravens minus 6.5 against your Texans. It's up to 7.
It's at 7. I'll still take it at 7, though. I think that the Ravens win this game by double digits.
I'll take it at 7, but I love it at 6.5. I feel really good about that ticket. That's one of the ones that's already played. The Chiefs minus 9 at the Chargers. Kind of think the Chiefs are... I don't like giving up big numbers with the Chiefs, but I feel better giving up big numbers with the Chiefs than I do pretty much any other team not named the Ravens.
Yeah, but I'll say the Chargers, they did a good job last week of making their game a grind game. Obviously, easier to do against Joe Burrow than it is against Patrick Mahomes. But if I had to play a side on it, it'd be the Chargers. I don't want to bet against the Chiefs, though.
Patriots plus four at Seahawks.
Seahawks minus four is probably going to be my favorite play of the week.
Okay. I lean that way. And then Saints minus six against the Raiders.
Give me the Raiders.
Yeah, I think I'm leaning that direction, too, especially with Joe Thomas.
Again, if you show me a seven, I'm hammering that.
Yeah.
The Saints do have a nice defensive front. I don't like what I saw out of the Saints' offense. Now you're taking away the best piece of that offense. I think it's the Raiders for me.
All right.
At least for now.
Yeah, it's Tuesday. Yet, it is Tuesday, and a lot can happen. It's just I do feel like there was value in that certainly in getting the Ravens at 6.5. I feel like there was value in that.
Did it? Oh, it opened at 5.5, didn't it?
Not anywhere where you could actually bet it. Oh, okay. I mean, that's one of those where
opened like at Circa or somewhere.
Yeah, well, in Vegas.
If you walk in Vegas,
in the play, yeah, but whenever it went to the websites.
Man, when I see those college football lines at Circa, I'm like, oh, why don't I live right next to Circa? And they put their lines out on like Monday when every online book is waiting until like Wednesday. It pisses me off. But then I'm like, oh, I'd have to live in Vegas, and I don't know that I'm really into that.
Yeah, it's not as much fun as it sounds.
All right. You know what is fun? Saving money. Yeah. Because then you've got more money to move to Vegas and gamble it all at Circa Sportsbook on the early college football lines. Although I think they do have relatively small limits. Either way, TGS, one of the fastest growing insurance agencies in the state. If you own your home, it's so easy to save money. And this is why they're growing so fast, because they do make it easy for you. All you've got to do is send a text. You text the word money to 232323. They're going to send you back they're going to say, hey, what's your address? You reply back, boom. They'll send you a full quote. Excellent coverage, mind you, within 15 seconds. And it's legit. I know it's legit because I saved over $1,000 annually on my homeowner's insurance. How crazy is that? That could be you. The average customer saving nearly $900. They've got a nearly perfect online rating, over 1,000 reviews. And they'll get you refunded on your old policy and start putting money into your pocket right now. Text the word money to 232323. Get started saving today with TGS Insurance.
G'day, mate. This is Sam Windsor of the Houston Sabercats. You're listening to The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
You are listening to The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we're back on the Blitz. Lamont asked, if I was an offspring of Bill O'Brien and wanted to drop $200 on the Texans to win, how much could I win? I can answer that question for you,
on the Texans,
sir.
To win this, yes, weekend? Okay.
They are plus 255. So that would be how much you would win for a $100 bet.
$510 is what my math says.
Yes.
Oh, my new book has plus 265. You'd win $530.
There you go. I need to check my other book.
Boy, you'd be a rich.
Yeah. So you could buy a bunch of beer and whiskey.
Oh, yeah.
Whatever you want.
Of course.
Yeah. So
you'd become very wealthy. Very wealthy, I must say.
But yeah, to me,
not many people would be richer than you.
I think I actually think the Texans are going to keep it inside of seven and have a chance to win the game, then yeah, there's some value in that. I happen to not, but that's okay. I don't want people to not bet things just because I don't think the Texans can win. I'm checking my other site now just to see what the number is. Plus 255 also. So there you have it. But I mean, those can be good plays. And the number's seven right now. I got it at 6.5, and I feel pretty good about that. It's also 7 on my other site. So far, everything's pretty close on both sites that I use. So, and it's always good to do that, to shop back and forth. If you've got something you like and there's a better price, I mean, jump all over it. I also am going to take a look at stuff like team total overs for the Ravens. I think that Texans defense is so bad. I mean, they're not going to be able to stop them. And it's just going to be, I don't know that it's going to be as bad as it was last year. Cause I mean, the Texans just came out completely flat after that trip to London and never had a chance, but I don't think it's certainly not going to be, I don't know where the Texans are going to make up 40 points. I don't think that was the only reason that happened.
Did you have you read this about the Big Ten?
What's the most recent thing? I read something this morning.
Looks like the Big Ten is expected to approve a fall football season within the next couple hours here, and they're just going to start playing.
Okay.
Do you think the Pac-12 is now like, bro, what the hell?
Well, I think
I thought we had
the last thing I saw in the Pac-12 is they said it would be November at the soonest before they could play.
I think they've got fear of missing out.
And
they're FOMOing.
Well, I think in the Big Ten's case, maybe they shouldn't have just said, hey, we're canceling it. Now that they've seen some teams play, then I think they're realizing, okay, we can do this. Now, you're also going to have issues like you did with, you're going to have some teams have to postpone because of COVID. But you can also, the cool thing is, and I talked about this a little bit yesterday about how cool it is that Baylor and UH got together and said, hey, our games got canceled. Let's play Saturday.
Yeah.
That's kind of fun, man. That's kind of old school. And it's like, oh, you only got a week to prepare. It's like, so what? You only get a week to prepare for teams during the season, too. And you know, it gives the kids a chance to play. And for UH, it gets them on national television with Baylor. They get a team that was really good last year, get to test themselves early, it's an old rival. I think it's great. And I think you're going to see more of that. I think you're going to see teams that say, okay, well, this game got canceled. Let's play these guys this week.
Let's do it.
And it's so hard when you talk about the scheduling years in advance. And I hope this changes scheduling a little bit where maybe they don't do that, because it's kind of fun. So, and some of that's going to happen with the Big Ten. You're going to have some games. You got to say, all right, well, Northwestern's got 20 kids. They can't play.
Yeah.
So I hope that they play. You know, I do think it's going to be a real problem for the national championship, for the playoffs. If this is all staggered, I don't know how you make that work. But maybe we don't. Maybe we just do like the old days and have a poll, and maybe we have more than one champ. Who cares?
Yeah,
it's college football and it's fun. I don't know. You know, we haven't hardly talked any college football. Until
we didn't talk any yesterday.
I know.
And there were games. We were so slammed. I mean, it was the opening NFL weekend, and then we spent literally the first hour of the show on the Rockets,
which I think was warranted.
I think so too. So I don't feel bad about it. And it's not like there was some college football matchups that people were like, "Oh my God, did you catch that great game?" Let's face it, there weren't these epic matchups going on. But there was a full slate of college football, a more full slate of college football than what we've had recently. And, some at least decent games, better than week one. Agreed.
Oh, definitely. Definitely. I thought the Louisiana Iowa State game was, I mean, Iowa State's not a fun watch most of the time. And it wasn't the greatest game, but they had two kick returns. That was a fun game because I was rooting for the underdog. Not for gambling reasons, just because I thought it would be cool if they'd go in there and beat Iowa State. And they did.
And they did. Notre Dame-Duke, 27-13 final. The thing that's most interesting to me about that is that college football game had better ratings than the Rockets game.
Yeah.
Like, that tells you people are just aching for college football. Texas just destroys UTEP. I had under 58.5 points.
Ah!
Texas scored 59 by themselves, and UTEP kicked a field goal to ruin that anyway. But that was my only college football loss of the weekend. I was on the under in the UL Louisiana Iowa State game, which was an easy under. I had Charlotte plus 17 against Appalachian State.
That worked out.
And I had not Kansas, had Coastal Carolina, and I was catching touchdown, and they just smacked Kansas around. So really rough weekend for the old Big 12.
Yeah, because not only did
Texas Tech almost lost to Houston Baptist.
Yeah.
I mean, if that would have happened, the Big 12 would have just canceled the rest of their season. Everybody would have said, listen, we've all got coronavirus. Season's over. Actually, that's not true because Texas and OU both won handily, and we all know that's really all that matters.
Yeah, the rest of the Big 12.
I forgot Kansas State lost to Arkansas.
Yeah, I was just about to mention that. Arkansas State goes in and beats Kansas State. I actually had that one.
I did, too, and one of the reasons why, and we talked to Brad Powers about this, Kansas State, Kansas, neither one of these teams had any fall practices. Iowa State, same thing. All these other smaller schools, they've been practicing. They've been practicing, and they were ready.
Yeah, and it showed. I'll tell you what, a fun game that probably wouldn't have been on TV except for the fact that there weren't many games. UTSA, Texas State.
Yeah.
51-48, double overtime. And, I had a little bit on UTSA in that one. So, but I do really well.
I had the other side in our little pool.
I do really well on those, basically Texas State and UTSA most years. So, but anyway, it was a fun little weekend of college football. This weekend's going to be much better.
Boy, my other play was North Carolina minus 22.5 against Syracuse. Everyone was talking about how Syracuse had all this COVID and North Carolina's offense is so great. So I was like, all right, you know what? I'll throw a little at that. It was like 10-6 going into the fourth quarter. And then North Carolina just opened it up and smacked them around, and they covered. But they made me sweat. That was my first sweat of the season.
I say it's more interesting locally because, there's SMU's playing North Texas. But for the most part, it's not that great of a second week. Houston-Baylor, I think, makes it interesting. Hell, that may be the premier game of the week.
Could be.
Because, Tulsa, Oklahoma State, Syracuse, Pittsburgh, Navy, Tulane, Boston College, Duke.
No.
South Florida, Notre Dame, and maybe that one. All right. Quick break. It is.
Miami, Louisville, probably the premier game of the week.
Yeah, I would.
I think they're both ranked.
Yeah, 17 and 18. So, all right. Quick break. It's the Blitz on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. That's where the Leroy
Brothers play. At ESPN 97.5, we wear Boomer Naturals masks. Order now at BoomerNaturals.com and use promo code ESPN Houston for 20% off. This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we're back on The Blitz. Coach B asked, remember you have a sports betting audiobook. Is it all betting or just horse racing? Is it still available? Guess what? We have both. A.J. and I did an audiobook, an introduction to sports betting Blitz style. It still holds up very well. And there's also Acing Racing 2016 if you want horses. They're both available at galmediapublishing.com. I responded to his tweet with the link. So if you're on Twitter, very affordable, quick listens, and I think they're very useful. And the sports betting book in particular, I think now is a great time to jump in there and snag that puppy if you're... Yeah, because we're not going to sit here and guarantee you're going to win money. We're not going to tell you can play the games as if they've already been played.
It's a lock.
But we give you some ways to try to avoid getting killed. So, Real Frodo asked, do you guys think the Nuggets Heat Finals would be the worst case scenario for the NBA? Absolutely.
Yes, 100%.
Yeah. They want, and everybody wants Lakers Celtics.
Of course.
That's
Just for the traditional side of it, but also because they're the two best rosters.
Yeah, well, and LeBron brings eyeballs. Yeah. So it's, you know, everyone in the entire media world wants Lakers Celtics.
Yeah.
Because people will be interested and they'll talk about it. But that doesn't necessarily mean that that's what is going to happen. I think it is, though. Somebody asked this earlier. I'll be in Phoenix this weekend for the first time. Any advice on things to do in restaurants and bars? There were a couple of really good beer bars in, Was it Tempe or Mesa? I get confused for the Super Bowl.
I don't even know.
Wherever Arizona State is.
Yeah, I think it's Tempe.
Yeah, we were in Tempe. There's some good bars there, but there is a Lou Malnati's, I think, in Scottsdale now. And that is one of the best Chicago deep dish pizza places.
There's a super good brewery there called Rinhouse Brewing. I suggest you make a stop out there.
Yeah, it's a cool little city, but downtown has nothing. So I hope you're not staying downtown.
Yeah, and there's a meadery now called Superstition in Prescott, Arizona, which I think is right outside. It's one of those many cities.
Yeah, Scottsdale, Prescott, Glendale. Yeah.
So there's some good booze to be had out there, but they make really good mead if you're into that sort of thing.
And really hot women.
Yep. Oh yeah.
Am I allowed to say that anymore?
Nope. You're canceled. Sorry, Fred. You're fired. Shame on you.
You can't really fire me. I need to break it to you. Sorry.
Okay. Say something else about women. You'll be gone. Yeah, don't you worry.
Yeah, let me just say nice things about women being attractive. I mean, that
can fire you.
Apparently so. I just can't talk about their dresses. Or what they're wearing.
Okay. Definitely don't talk about that.
Yeah. But what awards show were you hosting? I get confused.
I don't even know. I think it was like the video game awards or something.
Oh, boy. 713-780-ESPN's your number. 713-780-3776. Yeah, I'm looking at this. I'm looking at our old Gal Media publishing page. There's a bunch of good stuff on there. And, jump on there. This Scott Waring guy, who no relation to Kahali Waring. he's the guy that it just keeps pushing the UFO stuff on us, and I keep saying, okay, give me some proof. Here's his chance. Apparently, there is. He claims. And again, as an ancient astronaut theorist, I'm skeptical of finding things on Google Earth. But apparently he has found it off of Greenland using Google Earth. He has found a triangle UFO that was attached to an iceberg floating off of Greenland. I used Google Earth map to find it.
All right.
The ruler on the map states the UFO is 68 meters across. It is possible this UFO crashed to Earth millions of years ago and got buried beneath a glacier that melted little by little. This guy is just stealing movie plots now. That's Man of Steel. That's exactly what happened in Man of Steel.
I think that's actually true.
So, I mean, that's all he's doing. And they're giving this guy, he's a UFO expert. No. If there's one there, go get it. Bring it back to me. Show it to me. Come on, man. This is an affront to all of us legitimate ancient astronaut theorists. Who do we got? Is that Carlos?
Carlos.
What's up, Carlos?
Which one of you guys say that you're going down to Phoenix, Arizona?
Neither one of us was a listener.
Okay. Well, I have a suggestion if they happen to go down.
Okay, what do you got?
Take a drive to Jerome, Arizona. It's pretty much north of Phoenix, between Flagstaff and Phoenix. But it is a beautiful drive. And if they like, you know, a ghost theme type, they have an awesome, awesome restaurant that looks over a mountainside. And everything that's on the restaurant floor is also on the ceiling of the restaurant, which is pretty trippy when you first walk in.
All right.
That sounds pretty cool.
Jerome, I think, is right there by Prescott.
Yeah.
So it's all in the same area. It's all and that's the problem. Like, even Prescott is like an hour and a half north of Phoenix, proper Phoenix. So,
well, you know what?
It's all like, the place in Jerome may be very nice, but Jerome is like 2 hours from Phoenix. So, like, that's like, it's almost like us saying, hey, what's a good restaurant recommendation in Houston? And then giving you a place in Austin.
Yeah.
We always think when we're traveling, like, everything's really close to each other. It's just not. Arizona's one of those states where everything's far apart. But there's plenty of stuff
staying
to do.
In Scottsdale. So, yeah. Okay. And I think that Lou Malnati's is in Scottsdale. I'm not 100% sure.
I think it's not far from the airport.
Okay.
I know it's right by a little train station because I ate there. The train station because I ate there right before I went and got on the train to go to the airport.
And Pat in the 409 says, Fred, have you seen the video of the so-called Jersey Turnpike UFO? I have not. I've been lax in my ancient astronaut theorist duties lately because football started. So, somebody mentions Miami with 52 now.
Yeah, I know. They're ruining things.
But I would be shocked if the Big Ten doesn't figure something out here. I mean, it at the time it was easy to just say, oh, well, we shouldn't play. But I think they're going to wind up getting it together, and I think it's worth trying to do. I don't think there's any reason for you to have to said, oh, we're not going to do it. By the way, just and again, more positive news was in regards to the Rona. The NHL confirmed 7 straight weeks of 0 positive coronavirus tests on their lockdown.
That's pretty impressive.
It is. And I think the NBA has done pretty well, too.
Yep. Although the NBA, I assumed, would because everything is so contained. But then you didn't factor in that people would be trying to bring randoms into the bubble. But
did you see? I didn't realize this. Daniel House is married.
Oh, yeah.
I didn't know that. And she deleted all of his pics from her Instagram account.
I forgot who said it, but I heard somebody say this and I laughed. If James Harden hadn't blocked that shot in Game 7, Daniel House would still be in a happy marriage. really blew up his spot with that block.
Oh, man. Well, and it wound up not mattering, right?
Yeah, it didn't matter. So it's not like the Rockets made it any further. But yeah, he is married, and I mean, she's got a. That's such a public thing.
Yeah, you imagine finding out that way.
Yeah, I mean, that's tough. You can't. It's hard to come back from it when it's that public and it's that embarrassing. But yeah, he is a married dude. My guess is Daniel House. Can the Rockets even bring him back next year?
I don't think you can. No, you have to get rid of that guy.
Which sucks because.
Useful.
He's useful. He's compared to the rest of their guys. He's cheap. He's youngish. It's tough, but I think they got to move on.
Although she has to know. I mean, he's a basketball player on the road.
Yeah, but you know what? A lot of these women are like, whatever happens, don't let it get out. Don't make it public.
And that's about as public as it gets. Beerman Greg says halfway through the second season of The Boys, not sure about compared to the first. I'm through all 4 episodes, and I know there's a lot of criticism about these guys are taking a lot of grief because of the way they did 3 episodes and then they're releasing 1 a week.
Yeah, rightfully so.
I agree. I mean, this is how we've become conditioned now, and I don't like having to wait each week, and I think they're trying to build a buzz. I think they built a better buzz the way they did it last year because then it was all, dude, you got to go watch all those episodes. And we're all pushing each other to watch them so we can talk about it. I think so far this year, episode 3 was the best of the season by far. The last episode.
Not so great.
I think it's been.
But how is this season compared to last is the real question.
It's hard. It's not as good yet. Okay. But it also, last season had. You know, it kind of did good, really good, great. I don't know. There wasn't really any bad episodes last year. There's not any bad ones, but there's only been one that I thought was a wow episode. And, you know, in the first season, you had a wow moment at the end of the episode. Well, not even at the end of the episode. It was right at the beginning when the girlfriend gets plastered. And yep. you're like, that to me, that's like, oh, holy bleep, they just killed this chick. Oh, man, I'm in. And it never slowed down from there. This one, you know, so far, little setup, and there wasn't enough Billy Butcher in the first one for me. And now that he's back, and it's also nice to see the word diabolical getting used in conversation again, along with the other word he uses. But I thought 1, 2, good. 3, great. 4, four was about everybody's relationship. And it didn't do much for me. So, again, not bad. Just not an episode where I felt like I wanted to go watch it again. Last week, I wanted to go watch episode 3 again, mainly because I'd been drinking a little bit. And by the end of the episode, I was like, oh, I might have missed something. And I did. So, all right.
All right. Let me tell you guys about my friends over at Elate Health. It's Prostate Awareness Month, gentlemen. So if you haven't had the old check-a-rooney, it's a great time to do it. And if you are struggling with BPH, which is an enlarged prostate that's non-cancerous, a lot of doctors will say, hey, we got a surgery for that. And when they say, hey, we got a surgery for that, they mean, hey, we're going to put a drill inside your pee hole and maybe your penis won't ever work again. But hey, we'll at least get that prostate taken care of. Well, Dr. Doe at Elate Health said, I've got a better idea. And he's got a procedure called PAE. He's the first doctor in Houston to do it. Nobody in Houston has done more than he has. And it's a minimally invasive procedure. You're in and out of the office in a couple hours, and you're going to be back to new. And there's no drill. It's all done with X-ray technology. So, like I said, there's very little to it. Dr. Doe, Dr. Manavis, they're both incredible with it. It's a revolutionary procedure. It's covered by most insurance. Give them a call, 832-850-4618, or learn more at choosepae.com. That's 832-850-4618 for a late health.
With the round behind, that's the type you like to invite. But this is a solo crew, so I think I'll stop for a spark. But I buy you with a mind in the sky. Low clouds, mesmerized, below eyes, floating on the doja. I'm breezing, now I'm feeling
the Blitz. The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. You are listening to The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we're back on The Blitz. This is the last segment. Time for a little Hey Man Bleep That. You want to go first?
No. Okay. I'm going to pull mine up.
I'll make Aaron go first since he's been gone.
All right. Third week in a row of going first. I like this. So I was traveling, and I don't know if I want to call out the specific airline by name, but with all of this COVID stuff, they remind you through their app and your emails and text messages, hey, we just want you to feel safe. If you don't feel safe, we're not even going to charge you to change your flight or anything like that. Well, problem with that is the flight I had from Denver or to Denver, they took all 6 flights that day from Houston to Denver and put them all on one flight on a 777 to squeeze every last person in. So they were only making one, which it's business. You got to save money. I understand that. But they did the same thing for Denver back to Houston. They combined the 4 flights from Denver to Houston that day all on one flight. And they did that for every day and then tell you, oh, you can just change it. It's no big deal. You can change it. If I were to change my flight to be on a less packed flight, I'd have still been in Denver probably for about 4 or 5 more days. Easily. But their whole slogan is, we want you to feel safe. We want you to, you know, it's no big deal. It's COVID times. We know you got to get where you're going, but we also, if you're not comfortable being on an actual flight that the flight attendant said was 99% full, you can change it, no big deal. All problem is, you're not going to have a flight available for the next 4 or 5 days. For that, hey man, fuck that.
I got to say, I don't fault them, though. I mean, they're losing a ton of money right now, and that's always been how they do their routes, right, is like how full the flights get, and that's why some places you have 4 flights a day and some you have 6. Ideally, yeah, don't go telling people you're trying to keep them safe.
Yeah, that's my issue with it. Yeah. I understand the business side of it, and if I were that CEO, I'd be doing it too, but I would never let the marketing department go, hey, send 3 different text messages and emails every day to passengers saying we hope they feel safe.
Yeah, well, as long as you give me my alcohol in first class, I don't really care. All right, here's mine. everybody wants to make a big deal out of the NFL ratings, and the Texans Chiefs was down from last year's opener, which, let's not forget, as much fun as the Chiefs are to watch, it's not like these are two premier franchises like the Bears and Packers were a year ago in the hundreds. So I like watching the Chiefs because I like offense. And, you know, the Texans are local. So that game, Sunday night game was down a little bit as well. So everybody's, well, guess what? I got some positive rating news for you. This is me. I'm Mr. Positive these days. The New Orleans Bucks game, rating of 16.2, which last year, the 2019 counterpart, 15.9, projects to rank among the best of all national telecasts since the Super Bowl. Yeah, some of these other ones are down, but not Drew Brees and Tom Brady.
They did all right.
Yeah, they did okay. So for those of you saying you're not going to watch football,
you're watching.
To that I say, hey, man, f*** that.
What do you do with your dogs when you go on vacation? You get them boarded?
Well, we have the lady who cleans our house comes and takes care of Derby, and then we boarded the other one, but since we haven't traveled in so long now, I don't know what we're going to do.
So we always board ours, or if my brother stays at our house, that's the most convenient thing, and he'll do that sometimes, but usually we get them boarded, especially my shepherd. My dad sometimes will watch my little dog, but he's not allowed to watch the corgi, or not the shepherd, because it almost killed my aunt's dog. But what I don't think is a good idea are these apps that basically you hire a pet sitter. Like just random people on the internet you don't know. This woman from Arizona did that. And while she was on vacation, she got a phone call from the pet sitter informing her that her dogs had disappeared.
Oh, man.
She called her and said she had a plumbing issue in her home, so she moved all the animals she was caring for into the backyard. The dogs got through a gate with a broken latch, and they're just gone. And now she's spent $20,000 searching for them, but hasn't found them yet. I don't know how you spend that money and not found. I mean, I guess you're putting up ads and stuff.
Yeah.
Don't leave your dogs with strangers. Bad call.
Yeah.
Unless it's like a licensed actual place.
Right. Where, yeah.
Like that's what they do.
And even things can happen there, but at least you know that this is what
they're supposed to do. It seems less likely.
Yeah. Than just
random internet stranger. You'll take $50 to watch my dogs. Okay. To that I say, hey, man, f*** that.
Yeah. She's the lady who cleans her house is really good with the animals and really trustworthy. So we let her stay there and take care of Derby, but there's just no way you can handle both of them. Hell, they're hard for us to handle. Like even today, yeah. And I mean, we've gone through obedience classes and everything else, and sometimes they're both just nuts. And like I'm taking them for a walk, and there's these two dogs that they fought with a couple times. So anytime those two are out with their dogs, they go nuts. And the same thing happens today. And I'm like holding on to both of them. And, you know, they're not small dogs and I'm an old man. And it's getting kind of hard to control both of them on the leash. And so they're both going nuts. And I finally get pissed off and just say, bleep, 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 sit. You bitches, sit. And they both sat there and just stared at me.
Well, that's good.
I'm like, okay, that was easy.
Did you really need to curse at them, though? It seems unnecessary.
Well, you know, yeah.
Whatever works.
Yeah, exactly. So somebody says that sitter sold those dogs.
Maybe so. Wouldn't shock me.
And if you're spending $20,000 to try to find them back, you probably got a lot more than that.
Yeah.
So, but yeah. Let's see what else we had. A couple people are asking us to talk about soccer. We got Soccer Matters with Glenn Davis tonight. You don't need me.
Yeah.
And Isometric says they can't talk soccer since they never played professionally. No, we can't talk soccer because Soccer Snob told me to get lost, essentially, for actually liking a team and watching Premier League.
Yeah, you're not allowed to do that.
No.
How dare you?
You picked a popular team, and you're late to the game and stuff like that. So bleep Soccer Snob, and I won't talk soccer. But Glenn Davis will, and he'll talk all the Premier League stuff.
That's right.
Including Chelsea and Liverpool and all those matches that were this weekend. And I happened to watch a couple of them, but I won't talk about them. So there. Soccer Snob can suck it. But plus now, guess what? Me and part of that's just, it's a funny bit to me. But I ain't got time for soccer right now. we got American football going on.
That's right, baby.
And I'm looking, it's going to be a fun week. I cannot wait. So, well, Aaron, good to have you back, buddy. You didn't bring me any edibles, did you?
I did not. Wife's government job, didn't think it was worth the risk.
Smart decision.
Yeah, it was a decision. You know, just, you know, let your wife keep her job. Great.
I like a roof over my head.
Yeah, well, you could just say, well, never mind. I'm not going to. I thank you for being responsible, sir. Good job today. Great job, Hoffman. Pretty good job, me. Till tomorrow, stay Rona free, bitches.
ESPN 97.5.
I assumed you knew.